RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I got a text from Ross this morning that said, I'm not sure I can make it today, boat ride. But then later, Ross said, it turns out it's not boat weather, which it's certainly not boat weather here. But I doubt he's on the, you know, on the shores of Hamburg or anything like that, or even Hershey. And anyway, Ross, I'm glad you could make it.
Yeah, I don't know that I am glad I can. I wish I was on the boat right now. I wish we had to reschedule it, but it's the wind gusts are up to 23 miles an hour, making the temperature feel like a very cold 64 where I'm at. Mm. So, yeah, so we decided we'll do the boat tomorrow.
A small craft advisory or something of the sort preventing Ross from going out on the water. It's Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Well, you've said how you always get Eagles questions when you go on these radio hits. We did have Eagles Bills on Sunday, and while it wasn't at all a shootout, it was pretty compelling. The Bills not being able to score until less than 6 minutes to go, then having a great chance of winning. Philadelphia, Ross, one first down in the second half, and it came early. What were your important takeaways from this game?
Well, I think number one, I guess, is I was very impressed with Eagles defense. It's funny, isn't it, how you look at things from whatever perspective you're coming from? Like, I can very easily say I was impressed by the Eagles defense throughout. And the Eagles offense, I thought, did some good things in the first half and really did not play well in the second half. I could totally flip that and say, man, it really took the Bills offense a while to get going. They didn't play well till the last 10 minutes or so, and they had some unfortunate plays go against them. But the Bills defense was lights out in the second half. Like, I don't know. I guess they can both be true, but just based on, you know, the fan reaction to the social video I did after the game at Ross Tucker NFL, it's really all a matter of your perspective and where you're coming from as to what you think. You know, like multiple Bills fans, oh, we gave them that game, blah, blah, blah. And then the Eagles fans reply, are you kidding? You had two guys make the best catch of their entire lives. And they, And a hook and ladder, and you still only scored 12 points. So I guess my big takeaway is that it was a really good game, competitive game. Weather was clearly a factor, and I think both those teams are good enough to go on extended playoff runs.
I think that's the worst weather possible for a fan at a game. Snow is better than 37 and rain. What about for a player?
By far the worst.
Yeah,
freezing is by far the worst. Distinctly remember starting at center for the Bills in 04 against the Arizona Cardinals at center. Yeah. It was freezing rain, and it was miserable. I really was worried and had some trouble even gripping the ball. It was that wet. And, you know, my wife's grandmother came to the game. They sat in the stand in 36 degree sideways rain the whole time. And I distinctly remember thinking, yeah, they're never coming to a game again. I mean, because it was that bad. In fact, trivia note, I don't know how many years he played, but obviously he's going to be a Hall of Famer and all kinds of records. That's the only game in Larry's history he can catch back. The only game.
Fitzgerald, yeah. I'm having a little bit of a tough time hearing you, so I just want to see if there's anything you can do on that front. But we've talked about that Cardinals game before. Emmitt Smith is on that Cardinals team in 2004, I think, and the Bills end up blowing them out. Well, you know, Ross, so to the point you made about Eagles-Bills and, like, look at it kind of any way you want, I'm finding myself doing that about all the potential matchups in the playoffs. And I think I'd be largely the same way about the NFC. I mean, this is just a very interesting and even year for the competition. Like, all right, should the Bills want to go to Jacksonville or New England? You know, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like these will all be three-point spreads or less and one play here or there. Do you think that that's – I mean, it feels a little bit lazy for me to land there, but – there aren't matchups here potentially where I think, apart from maybe Carolina or Pittsburgh, I guess, where I think one team would be really down bad going in.
I don't think there's any team out there that really seems dominant, that really seems like, oh, man, you don't want to play them. Whereas last year, you know, nobody really wanted to play the Chiefs, you know. And even people didn't really want to play the Bills or the Ravens. You know, I think it was pretty clear that those were the three Super Bowl contenders in the AFC. And then I guess I would say in the NFC, it felt like it was pretty much just the Eagles and the Lions. And then out of nowhere, the Commanders were able to knock the Lions off and get the win. And next thing you know, they're playing the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. But it seemed like there was a pretty clear five teams you could envision going to the Super Bowl and winning it. This year, I would tend to agree. I mean, I don't know. If the Ravens beat the Steelers, I think I'd even put the Ravens in that category. I mean, there might be 13 of 14 teams. I think it would be plausible for them to actually get to the Super Bowl and win it, which is wild.
Right. By the way, on Baltimore, what's fair to say about Lamar Jackson? I don't know what you know in this instance, but just like it's a huge game, season on the line, and who knows if he's even going to be out there. Yesterday, John Harbaugh wouldn't commit either way. Does it smell bad to you what's going on with Jackson?
Well, whatever's going on with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens feels a little bit awkward right now. You know, I mean, you think about there's reports that, you know, he and Harbaugh, you know, their relationship is kind of soured. You know, Harbaugh says we have an A-plus relationship. I think Harbaugh recognizes, you know, that, you know, they would pick Lamar Jackson over him, you know, right at this point if there's a discrepancy between the two of them. So that was number one. And then for Mike Preston, mm-hmm. the Ravens, as long as I can remember, to come out and really skewer Lamar Jackson and talk about falling asleep in meetings and staying up at night playing video games. You know, I sort of wonder how long he's been hanging on to that.
Mm-hmm.
Gave that to him because of how things are going this year.
Mike Preston, Baltimore Sun, as long as I can remember as well, back a long time Ravens or Baltimore sports reporter. With Ross Tucker, Insider Calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Ross, one thing about this Bills season, and this is probably in keeping with all these, this overall context, what we're talking about, it's just been, they've set a high standard. It's been a long time since they've had kind of an easy game. I don't think Philadelphia should have been an easy game, but, you know, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Tampa, the Bengals and the Bucks both led here in the fourth quarter. Miami shut them out into the fourth. I mean, even Pittsburgh, who they pulled away from, it was 7-3 Steelers at halftime. And it's not always the same thing. I mean, they've had good days and bad days, offense or defense. But is it a – what are your vibes on them? Like, it isn't the same as in recent years where they've really kind of dominated the bad teams, and to beat them has been really hard. And this game was an example of that, I guess. But I don't know, does it feel like, I guess in short, does it feel like the same Bills team?
It feels like a similar Bills team. I don't think it feels quite as good all around as some of the other years. I'm not really sure why. I can't really put my finger on it, on what's changed, what's different for this year versus the last couple years. You know, I don't know if it's if I felt like at the end of the year, the last couple years, the passing game was clicking more, or the defense was better, or whatever. I think the good news is I don't know that any of that really matters. You know, I mean, for the Bills, is they have a team for quarterback that's good enough to go on a run and win three road playoff games. I mean, I feel very strongly about that. The same way about and the Rams. You know, it's very hard to do. It doesn't get done very often. But if there's a year to do it, I do believe that it would be this year, and it would be somebody like the Bills or the Rams.
One thing that's different this year, Ross, Josh Allen last year was sacked 14 times, and this year he's at 40 with one game to go. And even as you would have seen Sunday against Philadelphia, on plays he's where he's getting the ball off, he's getting hit a lot. Not so much on designed runs, like there aren't as many of those. His foot is bothering him, and he's sliding on some of those anyway, but he is taking hits in the pocket. I wonder if it's taking a couple of years off his career, not to be too dramatic about it, but it has been a very different year for Allen and, you know, the physical toll he's had to take.
Yeah, and I think he did not look 100% to me on Sunday, which is a shame. I don't know, has Sean McDermott come out and said what they're going to do this week yet?
He sounded like they were going to slow play it, you know, rest players. And I wanted to get to that with you, too, because I think maybe a lot of teams will do that, which is interesting because there are seedings at stake, but not massively important changes in terms of the Bills, for one example. So my guess would be Allen would start the game and then leave pretty early.
You know, I it's funny because people ask me this question a lot about what to do this week and how much the rest matters. And I guess my always that I go back to every year that I played, and it felt like, you know, if you asked me late in the year, hey, if you could have one thing, what would you want? You know, would you want to be a little bit stronger, a little bit faster, a little bit taller, you know, I don't know, whatever, right? I would always tell you, can I just feel a little bit better? Can I just feel a little bit better? I mean, there's a reason why guys are lined up late in the year to take Toradol shots and stuff like that. And it's because they got a lot of things bothering them. They got a lot of things hurting them. And so it makes a lot of sense to me to try to get those, give those guys an opportunity to feel as healthy as possible for this playoff run. Let them go on a run feeling as close to 100% as they can. You know, 1 week's not going to heal them, but a week of not playing, a week of not really practicing, will put them in a much, much better place going into next week's playoff game.
What I'm anticipating is, starting with yesterday when Jim Harbaugh announced Justin Herbert would not play, that's another game where the Chargers could move up a spot or two in the wild card seedings, but not better than that. So sounds like LA was first to the podium to say, like, yeah, we're not going to, you know, press things this week. I just think there'll be other teams that fall in line. And I wonder if New England might be one, because this is, I mean, I know, I recognize it's not giving Denver the game per se, but if Denver wins, then New England has really nothing to play for except 2-3. That's also Chicago, Philadelphia. I thought Nick Sirianni sounded like he was prepared to rest players this week for the Eagles with the same. I mean, two versus three is not totally insignificant. You know, likely home field in the second round. But I'm feeling like this is the general priority that coaches are leaning into this year. maybe more than ever before, is giving their guys the rest.
Well, I think 2 versus 3 is a big deal. I think the issue for the Eagles is that they don't control it. You know, it's not like if they win, they're the two. They have to win, and they need the Bears to lose. That lack of control would be the thing that bothers me. And by the way, there's some percentage chance that the Eagles play their starters and lose anyway.
Yeah.
And there's some percentage chance, I think that they probably think it's pretty high, that they play their backups and win. You know, Tanner McKee, their backup quarterback, is really good. And that's what he did last year in Week 18 against the Giants. He won the game. So if you calculate everything, resting the guys makes a lot of sense to me. Now, if you're the Bears and it's win and you're the 2 seed, that's different. If you can lock in the 2 seed, I think you have to do that.
If they are to win and do that, they'll face the Packers in the first round. One thing this all leads to, I think you'd agree, is just like some really exciting, close-looking matchups. You know, almost all of them will be this. Maybe we get Carolina against the Rams or something, and the Rams would be maybe the biggest favorite of the weekend, but they still have to go, well, they just went to Atlanta and lost last night. So I think it's shaping up for that, where I wonder if there will be a point spread in the wild card round. Maybe that would be the one game where it'd be the highest. I don't know. Like, is any other game higher than 3.5?
You know, I think that there will be very, very close point spreads. I think you're right. Other than Carolina or maybe Pittsburgh, I don't see a team that's going to be favored by a lot over other teams. Certainly not more than a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a team on either side or both sides that you would want to, you know, either literally or figuratively bet on as a Super Bowl winner? Because the odds are going to be pretty even across the board. Is there somebody here that you think is like in the weeds, maybe? I don't know, maybe if it's in the Bills. Like, the Bills are kind of, they've been a favorite most of the year, but still, like, they'll go in as a road team. Is there somebody that you have your eye on for this?
Not really, no.
Okay.
I mean, I probably would have told you before the Rams that I thought they were clearly the best team. Feels like they're limping to the finish a little bit. You know, I'd probably lean most towards the number one seeds just because it's such an easier path. But, you know, if the Lions can lose to the Commanders last year, the Broncos and Niners and or Seahawks can certainly lose to whoever they're going to end up playing.
Right. Ross, one more thing. It's likely now, because of how this has fallen, Sunday to be the last game ever at that stadium. Maybe the Bills end up with a kind of a miraculous home game in the playoffs as a higher seed, but this is probably it. It's a weird one for the fans, I think, because the season won't be over, but the stadium will be, you know, so to speak, on Sunday. I mean, you played there as a member of the Bills. You know the fans. You've said so many nice things in our conversations. What might it feel like? What are your thoughts on the last game there?
It makes me sad. I'm doing the game for CBS with Kevin Harlan this week, and as I was looking at the options after they came out Sunday night, you know, I thought there was a chance of Indy Houston, and I thought there was a chance of Washington Philadelphia, which is what I'm doing, and I thought there was a chance of the Bills and the Jets. And, you know, there was something cool about all of them. Certainly, you know, doing the Eagles, since I do their preseason games and live near there, I'm excited about that one. But, you know, I said to my wife, you know, if I do the Bills, that's the last game at Ralph Wilson Stadium, which is what I've, you know, always called it and probably always will. And I know that there were hundreds, literally hundreds of better players for the Bills that played in that stadium than me, but you know, it's still my favorite team I played for. It's still the team I played the most for. And it's still the place where I have the fondest memories and the most memories. Somebody wrote an article, I think it might have been the Democrat, about, you know, our loss to the Steelers in 04 that we got. So it's always a little bit bittersweet. I'm excited that they got a new stadium. The new stadium looks like it's going to be awesome. But probably listening, you know, it's like anything else in life. When you turn the page, it's like, you know, you'll there always
missing mm-hmm. all the memories that took place in that building.
Thank you, Ross. Good luck getting on the water tomorrow, and we'll talk next week before the playoffs.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Mike.
You're welcome. Ross Tucker on the Wester Hotline, Odyssey NFL insider and former Bill. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Wherever Ross goes on these late December trips every year, it's sometimes a wonky connection. So apologies to you, the listener, for having to handle that. But thanks for hanging in there with us. The stadium, I have to remember to mention that as a topic for discussion here, just like the history of it, because it's like the playoffs and the matchups and the Bills' weaknesses and their flaws and just like, is this going to work out? But especially for season ticket holders that go back, you know, even decades, Sunday's a really powerful day. And I'm happy to hear your thoughts on it. I mean, some of you will go back to the very beginning of the stadium, 1973. My first game there was in 1979. I'm glad I can check the 70s box. I mean, I went to one game in the 70s and not many until like the late 80s for me after that. But at least I got one in so I can hold the 70s flag up as somebody who was there. Miami, Buffalo, week one in the rain, 1979. 9-7 Dolphins, the final. But I don't know. I fell in love with it, I guess. So what will Sunday mean? Sal and I had different viewpoints, by the way, on the emotions of Sunday yesterday when we talked, because I thought kind of the playoff situation puts a little bit of a damper on the closing of the stadium, because it's not the end of the season. It's just the end of the regular season, and you're probably not coming back, but you don't really know that. And Sal looked at it more positively, like this is a way where you can just sort of enjoy it, because there isn't the pressure of lose and you're done or anything like that. It's certainly not that kind of game. Not much to lose here on Sunday. 803-0550 for your thoughts. I'll talk to Tyler Dunn later, Paul Hamilton as well. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Whoever steps out in the field, if it's reserves or if it's the starters, like there's going to be a little bit of something to that. There's some substance to that. There's a little bit of weight, some gravitas to that, because you don't want to make a game too much of what it is, but you're holding 53 years worth of tremendous football by an organization that means so much to a town with that. It'll be a beautiful send-off. It's just such a blessing and privilege to be a part of it. I can't wait to see how that place is celebrated come Sunday.
I'm looking forward to hearing a couple of little tidbits on what might be planned. This is one where also I think it maybe was a little bit complicated because of the Bills being likely to be at home in the playoffs, or so we thought, before the season or into the season, and now it's likely that they won't be. Think about it from the Jet players, too. I don't know how they would feel, but it's a little bit special. Jets haven't won here in 6 years. So, I mean, that team is in such disarray. I'm not sure, unless Tyrod Taylor is on the field. I think he probably would be, right? Active or not, he's somebody that would have memories, of course, of the place. That's Mitch Morse, by the way. 803-0550. I want to make sure, and we don't have a show on Thursday either. I mean, Friday is game preview day and drive at five, picks and everything like that. I want to make sure we give adequate time and thought to the this being the end of the stadium, going back from 1973. I certainly have a lot of memories there. In the more recent part of my life, it's mostly work-related. But even before that, many times out as a kid. I mean, the 79 opener, I was seven. I was there with my parents' friends. And I have no idea how that dynamic worked, but it was my parents' friends and me. Three of us, like a seven-year-old. But high school years, high school, college, it was like a big deal to get home for games, playoff games, all of it. It was probably the most important thing in my life would have been going there and experiencing Bills games. And that's not lost on me when here we are about 30-some years after that, seeing it come to an end. Let's go to Gerald here. Hi, Gerald.
Hey, fellas. How we doing?
I'm good.
So my first football game was opening day 1986 against the Jets.
Yeah, yeah.
And I almost think that was Jim Kelly's rookie season, too, but I'm not positive.
It was.
On that one. But anyway, the Jets won that game. So I guess this is bookends for me because I'm going Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, that was Kelly's first game as a Bill. Bright sunshine, shootout. It was a loss, but as I watched it, a rare home game where the blackout was lifted at, I guess I would have been 14. I mean, I just felt great about it. The Bills had, I'm growing up 8, 9, 10 years old. The Bills are, they get good, and they have a couple of close calls in the playoffs. Like it was, I didn't grow up like Bulldog did several years earlier, watching them mostly lose all the time. Like it didn't start that way for me, but then it got that way. Mid-80s, it was the worst. But when Kelly ran through the tunnel, even though they went 4-12 that year, it did start to turn up. And then by 88, they're in the AFC Championship. So the 80s overall were fun. And then the 90s were epic for the Bills. Like, I don't need to tell you. Let's go to Ed next. Hello, Ed.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
It's funny you said blackout. Can you believe how times have changed?
Yeah, I know.
Games being blacked out way back then. That's crazy. Hey, what do you think about picking up Trayvon Diggs? You know, that defense for the Bills, I think, has been their Achilles heel in the playoffs. Somebody seems to get hurt every playoff game. I don't think you can have enough defense. I know the offense is struggling right now, but I feel like they'll figure that out.
Well, he's just about the worst graded defensive back in the NFL. So I think I will pass on this one. Thanks, Ed. Tony is next. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Mike. I just talking about the stadium.
Yeah.
I was at the first game ever. It was a preseason game against Vince Lombardi and the Redskins.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And they took the opening kickoff to the house. That's how we started the stadium. Just wanted to drop that tidbit. Thanks.
Wallace Francis,
yep.
That's right, isn't it? I never thought about that being Lombardi.
Yes, he was. First game ever in our stadium.
73 Washington. All right, cool. Thanks, Tony. I never thought about that being Lombardi. It's before my time a little bit. I remember I'm not sure I would have remembered Washington, but I remember the name of the guy and that happened in a preseason game. I never linked that with Lombardi, though. That's pretty cool. I have many varied memories of the stadium. Not all of them are fond. Like, one unfortunate bathroom incident that I can still remember. You know, nothing involving other people, but just not knowing exactly where to go as a kid, if you will. Hope that makes sense. And then having it be explained to me at the end that I wasn't going where I should have been going. So there's that. I announced a high school game there. That was a big thrill at the time, doing PA for a Grand Island sectionals game. They gave each, I'm not sure if they don't still do this or haven't still done it this way over the years. They would give the public address announcer for each school one half. And so I got to do a half. There was a foot pedal. Probably very different now. I know it is, because now you just yell third down and there's really nothing else to it. But in those days, you had to press your foot pedal down to speak, and that was just like the best. I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm doing this at you know, Rich Stadium. And I think it was the same weekend where after the game or after the first half, my job was done. We two friends of mine piled in one of his car and went to Foxborough for the Bills Patriots the next day. I want to say that was November of 89. Let's go to Pete next. Hi, Pete.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, hi. Just calling about being at the first game. I will be at the game Sunday, so that's kind of cool for me. But the first game, some people may remember there was a huge traffic jam. People really didn't know what it was going to be like to get out there. And the stadium was half full when the ball was kicked off. And I literally sat down in my seat when the ball was kicked off, and it was Herb Mulkey for the Redskins that returned the kickoff for a touchdown.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, okay. So Washington did it. What's Wallace Francis? Is that the regular season?
Wallace Francis, yeah. He was on the Bills at that time, pretty sure, yeah.
Did he maybe do the same thing in the regular season opener?
Could have been.
Okay. So it's Mulkey for Washington in the preseason game.
Yes.
Okay.
Herb Mulkey.
Yes.
So anyway, a lot of great memories out there. Kelly's first game and tailgating, just a lot of fun.
Thanks, Pete. I'm trying to decide what my favorite day out there would have been. Maybe it's the 88 Jets. Pandemonium, getting on the field, ripping the net away from this other guy after the game was over, 9-6. That might have been my number one. I didn't love everything about doing that. I was pressured into doing it. And, you know, okay, well, there are eight of us and seven guys are rushing down to the field. I probably should go with them. Is that what mom would tell me to do? Leave your vagrant friends to their, you know, whatever, their crimes, and sit alone in the end zone, or go with them? I went. 90 playoffs, Miami. 91, both playoff games. 95, 94, 95, just going to a night game by myself for the first time in 93, Monday night against Houston. That was really my prime for going to the stadium. Let's go to Jim next. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
I got a couple stories. I was 16 when the stadium opened. I told my mother I'm getting season tickets, and she thought maybe it wasn't a good idea that I do it by myself. So she got one with me, and all these years later, I'm going to be going Sunday with my 40-year-old son and my 19-year-old grandson, and the memories are pretty amazing. That game you went to is where Tom Dempsey missed the field goal that continued Miami's streak to 19 games at that point.
Right.
But I remember first concert I went to there was Emerson, Lake and Palmer, the James Gang, and this group that nobody ever heard of called Lynyrd Skynyrd. That was in 74. And, you know, the memories, I remember in 1991, Frank Reich was throwing in for Kelly, and they beat Miami to win the division. They tore the goalpost down, and I'm walking down Abbott Road, and there's about 50 guys at the goalpost. And they walked into a tree, and they kept on walking. The goalpost bent in half and broke, and they off went in different directions with their pieces of the goalpost. you know, just great memories. You know, winning the 51-3 game, I think, is one of the all-time classics. I remember the first Monday night game in 73 where O.J. went over 1,000 yards in game number 7 against Kansas City with still had Bobby Bell and Jim Lynch and Len Dawson, all the legends were still on that team. You know, going through the years, just had going there with my kids, my grandkids. My daughter's first game, she was 3 years old. She fell asleep under the seat. That was Jim Harbaugh's game for Indianapolis, and second biggest comeback in Bills history was that game. That's probably like 94.
I was at that.
And, yeah, that was something. And when, you know, then one thing to consider when I go to the game Sunday, I'll be thinking of my mother. But the Super Bowl is on her 105th birthday, and I think that's a good vibe. So
all right.
If they ever win it, I'm going over to Holy Cross Cemetery, and I'm going to put a pennant on her grave.
Have a great time Sunday, Jim. Very good. I'm looking at the box from that Bills-Chiefs game in 73 you mentioned, and it's funny, like in the OJ years, there are several games like this where there are just no stats at all until you get to him. Pete Bethard, Kansas City, 6 for 23, 73, 2 sacks. Len Dawson, 2 for 6, 26, 2 interceptions. No passing, rushing. Ed Podolak, 7 for 29. Joe Ferguson, 6 for 11, 63 and a pick. Receiving, Bob Chandler, 3 for 35, 0. O.J. Simpson, 39 for 157 and 2. Like, there was one guy on that field. Nobody else could get 2 yards in this game for either team. There are a lot of Bills games like that in those years. Thanks again, Jim. Mike Schoep here with Tyler Dunn at 5. This is WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.